start the show?
I'm ready to start.
I got a mouthful of pretzels. You start it.
I start it.
Intro the show.
All right, this is Janet J, also known as Janet Decay, and you are listening to
Living the Scream, the behind the scenes of The Mummy and the Monkey Show. That's right, episode 5, rocking your ears right now, if you're listening out there. And man, what a fantastic weekend we had so far, right?
Oh my gosh, we have done so much in 2 days. I love our crazy little adventures that we go on.
Yes.
All the weird things we get into.
Yeah, this life is definitely has changed for me since meeting you and getting involved with horror hosting. And man, it's something I dreamed of as a kid, or fantasized at least about, watching Big Chuck and Little John and wanting to, and the Ghoul and Super Host and wanting to do that kind of a thing, even as a hobby, and which it is right now. But you know, if we can turn it into something more, not even lucrative, but more
just
popular.
Just move up to the next step, maybe grow a bigger fan base.
Yeah.
Do something with marketing it. But I agree with you too. My life has definitely changed for the better since we have joined forces.
Yes.
I should say.
Yeah, besides cohabitating. But just even if we didn't do that, even if we didn't like meet, fall in love, and get married like we did, I would still want to do a show with Janet Decay.
We would still like get along and work together, and it would be cool. But that we're together as a couple also, it's amazing.
Ah, the universe. I mean, that.
I know, it's not all perfect and every, you know, no one's perfect.
Speak for yourself.
We have our bad times where we'll bicker and argue a lot.
But everybody, I mean.
Everybody's like that,
but
you know?
But the key to any relationship, not to get that deep with it, but it's to find somebody that, if you're going to have these things with, that's the person you want to have that sort of row with, or, you know,
yeah.
or disagreement with.
And it's good to vent and let it out sometimes. You don't want to go to bed angry or like.
Anyone can love the good stuff. That's easy to love. What's not to love about it? But you have to choose the person that you accept the differences that you might have. And you move on, and that's the person you want to be with. Anyway, let's not get too deep.
Anyway.
We need to get to the show
relationship talk with The Mummy and the Monkey.
Let's turn it into Dr. Phil. What makes you
think... We had like a mushy moment there.
What makes you think you should dress like a monkey and she should dress like a mummy? You know, we're not going there. Right, it's getting deep here.
We need to start the show with a show shot.
So we're in our living room,
which
broadcasting.
We need to mention the show shot glasses.
We will.
Okay.
So let's paint the scene. Let's tell people where we're. We're in our living room once again.
Back in our living room.
In the comfort of our own living room, in front of orange pumpkin light in the fireplace. We have our plastic Halloween pumpkins all aglow.
The pumpkins are aglow.
Yes.
The living room has a wonderful orange glow.
Yes. We just did a little housework, cleaned the kitchen and the bathroom, which is a major feat here at the Harmon household. But we did it. And now we're enjoying a few beverages, and we're going to do a show shot, yeah?
Yes, we're going to do a show shot, but these glasses are fragile, so we can't slam them down.
We received a wedding gift from a dear friend, family friend of mine, Bridget Martin. Shout out to Bridget. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bridget.
I've known her since I was a little kid. I grew up with her daughter and, Allegra, and she gave us these awesome they're the skull shot glasses that you've seen online. They're skulls that are sort of like inverted into a glass, right?
Right. So you see the skull shape in the glass.
Your drink fills the skull face out.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So mine's got that nice Jack Daniel's Ember look to it.
Yes, and mine has that nice, was it like sort of dark brown Jägermeister look to it. So
yes, like that syrupy type of look. And we've already have been drinking, so this will make the show even more interesting.
They don't have to know that. Anyway, so let's show shot to a great weekend.
A great weekend and hopefully a great podcast.
That's right. So let's go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to the wasteland people out there that know what that is. Mm-mm. They're a little fragile. I want to be careful with these.
Smooth.
Never drank out of a skull before, but there you go.
I'm going to wash it down with, what is this? Straw burrito splash.
Oh, boy.
But then you put rum in it.
I did spike it a little bit for the mummy. I gave
so
her
this
a little.
This is my second one like this.
We're real low brow here. So it was like Lady Bly rum. Okay. That's the cheap, that's the bottom. But it's really not that bad. And it's super cheap. And it works. And I'm having a little bit of that with my favorite. Okay. So I'm hunting this stuff down. It's called Swiss Cream Soda. It's made by Cotton Club. It's not the typical brown cream soda. It's white. It's like cream soda. Mm-hmm. But, oh my God, it's really good. And I mixed that with the Lady Bly, and I got a Bud Light on hand. I'm kind of double fisting here, literally. Listen.
I just have one drink in my hand.
Anyway, yeah, we're pretty...
My pink drink.
We're celebrating...
It is pink colored.
But we are celebrating a great week we had with some of our idols growing up as kids in front of a television set at 11:30 p.m. on a Friday night. Big Chuck and Little John.
Yes, we grew up watching these guys on TV. We love seeing them at Goulardi Fest. Anytime we see them, it's an honor, and I kind of get a little shy because I'm like, there's TV legends right here in front of me.
And anybody that aren't familiar with Big Chuck and Little John that might be listening to our podcast, basically, they were movie hosts that started out showing a lot of horror movies, and then it evolved into whatever the movies station
cheesy,
had to show.
Like action movies and just whatever B movies they were showing.
But their shtick was always the same. They always did a lot of cutting up between each other, joking around, and they make skits, okay? Like little fun jokey things that they would tape, and they have hundreds, maybe even thousands of these skits.
And what's cool is they had like their own characters. They would do these goofy little skits, and Big Chuck is of Polish descent, but he couldn't say Polish.
Well, so they did for a while.
They did for a little while, but I think the city of Parma and other people would complain.
Right.
Because
Cleveland has a pretty diverse ethnicity, as ethnic different people of different ethnicities here.
Oh, yeah.
You had your Polish communities. We right now live in what used to be a really big Irish community.
It still is to some extent.
It is still, but it was even bigger in the past. But you had these different,
different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Like
that were
little
specifically
Italy.
Ukrainian. I mean, and there's a place, a church down the street that's going to do some chicken paprikash. I can't wait to
get that's
Hungarian.
It's an all-Hungarian church, yeah. And the chicken paprikash sounds so delicious.
So I lived away from Cleveland for about 10 years, and I could not wait to get back. I lived in I call it Vanilla Beach, but it's Virginia Beach. Love Virginia Beach, but it's an amalgamation of a bunch of transient people that really never stay there. They eventually move on. But Cleveland has such a diverse culture, and I hope Clevelanders out there realize how unique this type of culture is. On top of having an awesome sports fan base, they have a great like culture base that's diverse but yet works so good. I mean, I look forward to like chicken paprikash from Hungarians. And, you know, my pierogies and
you have a cat sitting on your shoulders right
now.
Yeah,
I know. We'll get to we have three children, our three black cats.
Our three furry kids.
Yeah, Louie, Zooey, and Jack. Louie and Zooey are Janet's, and Jack is my... But anyway, we'll talk about
that a little later.
Cats later. But anyway, we're way off base here, but...
Yeah.
And the drinks are really, like, saturating the brain
cells. I think they're affecting
cells.
Our brains right
the
now.
The brain cells are very saturated now, but... We are still kind of getting over the...
But anyways,
the great
we need
weekend.
To go back to the Big Chuck and Little John.
Yeah.
We were asked by the Green Eagle Winery, and it was out in... Oh, what's the name of that town? It started with Cortland?
Cortland, Ohio.
Cortland, Ohio. It's a tiny little town.
It's kind of around
Warren.
Yeah.
And the Youngstown area.
Yeah, so let's talk about that story.
So we were asked if we wanted to be a part of this live stage show and if we wanted to open up for TV legends, yeah. Big Chuck and Little John.
A good friend of ours, Doc Walton, okay? He's with a band called Take Two. They perform every Goulardi Fest, probably since the beginning they started doing these in 1997, I believe.
And they play like kind of like oldies rock, you know, covers.
It's a guy and a girl, and they do amazing...
Yeah, they sound great.
They'll play whatever you want, too. They're very diverse.
Yeah, they'll do requests, but... Yeah, they're entertaining. They're nice people.
But we were asked by Doc if we wanted to open up for Big Chuck and Little John for this year's Green Eagle Winery appearance, where they were raising money for the Warren Philharmonic Orchestra. Yeah, of course. I mean, we're going to say no. I mean, this is stuff that we're so into. So we said yeah. And we had to develop about half an hour of material to open up for Big Chuck and Little John. Now, these guys, Big Chuck and Little John, have been together. Before Big Chuck and Little John, it was Houlihan and Big Chuck. What are you doing with that phone?
Oh, I put up a post earlier, and I don't mean to be on my phone a lot, but I am.
Questions later. You got a question?
Yeah, we have some questions.
Okay, so
we've got some of that for later.
Right. Okay, so we'll get to that later. But let's focus on what we're talking about now.
Oh, of course.
Let's set it all up.
As Decay would say.
Yeah. So we were asked by Doc if we wanted to open up for Big Chuck and Little John. Yeah, no, we can't do it. Of course, yes. And we would love to be a part of this. We volunteered and we got all our stuff together.
Yeah.
Brought a set that I worked on. I actually put together.
At the last minute, Doc asked, oh, that set from the Packard Museum, can you bring that?
Yeah.
And because before we did our own show and did horror hosting, this artsy, fartsy, wonderful guy would build sets for the Big Chuck and Little John live stage shows that they had at the Packard Museum.
Right, because when they were doing their shows at the Packard Museum in Warren, Ohio, it was cool and everything, but they just had a wooden plank stage and that was it. I mean, they had a screen behind them.
So it was kind of plain looking.
They would actually show a movie like Little Shop of Horrors, and they would stop it every 20 minutes or so and do their shtick, do some like magic tricks. And there are pizza fights and stuff like that where they would do contests to win prizes.
So your props, because I see like some of them are shaped like buildings. Is it supposed to be like downtown
Cleveland? It's a Cleveland skyline, and it has movie posters, like horror movie posters I downloaded and printed out. Mole People, Forbidden Planet, whatever. But they're all like, you can see this. We're going to post some pictures tonight or tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this. You'll see them by the time you hear this of the event itself. And we'll have some video. We actually taped what we did out there. But anyway.
I was going to say we should put them on the fan pages too, because
we'll put them everywhere.
Not everyone has friended us, and I'm maxed out on the front.
There's a little Jägermeister left in this skull glass.
You didn't drink your whole shot.
Well,
take a sip. Finish it up. It's alcohol abuse.
I know. Sorry. And the pretzels are good too. Hey, if you're in Cleveland or Northeast Ohio, I don't know who has access to Dandy products, but my favorite is the pretzel rings from Dandy.
Dandy, and they taste pretty darn dandy.
Dandy good. Dandy. I think they're out of PA, but wherever they're out of, they're delicious, and I love them. Pretzel rings. My favorite, Marge. Anyway, so we get asked to do this thing. So we prepare a little half an hour show.
Yes.
That consisted of an opening, and we showed some of our Mummy and Monkey skits on a monitor that they had in front of the stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was like a big screen TV type of thing.
Yeah, a monitor.
Yeah.
And then after that, we did a game show called Grim Gory's Hide the Banana.
Whoa. And the name alone, it's like, what?
So, here's the overall reaction to our appearance yesterday at the Green Eagle Winery, which went well. I mean, we were, it's fun to rub elbows with people like Jim Szymanski, who was with the Big Chuck and Little John show as their announcer and camera guy. He did a lot of different stuff behind the scenes for Chuck and John's show.
Ron Garstick was there too.
Ron Garstick,
the guy
the Goulardi,
that runs Goulardi Fest.
Who pretty much has the rights to print all the Goulardi merchandise that's out there. And we'll soon have some of that in our Mummy the Monkey's Thrift Crypt store.
Yes, we're working out arrangements with Ron Garstick so we can have Goulardi shirts.
Yep.
At the Thrift Crypt on Madison Avenue in Lakewood.
Yeah, look it up on our...
We're very close to Mayhalls, across from Little Caesars, so...
Yeah, check out themummyandthemonkey.com. All the links are there for all of our stuff, our bits, our skits, and our store.
Yeah.
So, we got that hookup, and Mike Olszewski. I'm sorry,
that's a very ethnic name.
I got pretzel mouth, sorry. He is an author and a radio personality in Cleveland, Ohio. Goes back years... The guy's phenomenal.
He's written a ton of books, about Cleveland TV history, Cleveland radio celebrities.
And he even put us in one of his books.
Yes, we got a mention in Cleveland TV Memories Volume 2.
Yes, we're like this, we're the people who get asked constantly, are you on TV?
What channel are you on?
Well, we're on the biggest, and
a lot of people asked us
that. We did that rant last week.
That dreaded question we hate.
It will never go away. I'll never be able to say, look, I want to shake them and go, you, okay.
We already did that rant, and I'm sure the folks listening are tired of hearing us talk about it.
No, they're not. They're not but I have a better analogy. So, let me talk about this real quick.
Uh-oh, here we go.
This behavior, as far as watching something when you want to, isn't old, or isn't new. It's old. It's the same thing if you had a membership to a place that rented videotapes. Let's go back that far. And you said, I'm going to rent the Star Wars movie tonight, and I'm going to watch it whenever my popcorn's done popping and my pizza's done baking in the oven, or whenever my pizza. it's just, the internet is the same thing. The material is out there. You know, it's all there. You watch it whenever you want to watch it. What's the difference? Why is there this weird thing about, hey, if it's on the internet, I can't watch it. Why? You can queue it up. It's all logged in. It's all in there. It's stored in this bank of material that you can access whenever you want to.
Right.
But there's still this weird stigma about, from people that probably have video card memberships from back in the day, when they would rent a movie and they wouldn't watch it. I have to watch the Star Wars movie at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. No, you rent it at Thursday, watch it at 7:30, 7:31, 7:32, whenever you want to watch it. The internet is the same thing. People like us upload material.
To quote another friend, any night can be a Friday night.
Or Saturday night.
Or Saturday night.
Eric Williams.
Yeah, thank you, Eric Williams. When you're watching, you know, the show that you want online.
Anyway, but it's so weird to me that people are locked into this. Well, if it's not on TV at, you know, 8:30 Central PM, then I don't know when, I can't watch it.
Maybe back in 1950 when everyone had a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
But times are a lot different now. People work different schedules. You can watch things whenever you want streaming.
Yes. Deal with it.
I mean, cable is going to be gone soon.
Finally.
Let's face the facts.
You have the control. You really do. The remote control was halfway point. Now it's everything. We watch stuff when we want to watch it, when we want to watch it. Whether it's on pre-recorded stuff or media like a DVD, or on a hard drive, or on a stick, or on the web.
So, and we're a little old-fashioned. We like to have DVDs to watch.
No, but also...
But we also watch streaming.
So much.
Yeah.
So much streaming.
And
I love it.
And if we can find DVDs of shows that we like for a good deal, we buy them.
I'm never without. If I have some device that can, you know, and I have an account that I have unlimited data, but even if you have limited data, you're still probably watching things.
Well, if you have, like, cable internet at home and use Wi-Fi or something, or if you're on a Wi-Fi hotspot, heck, you could still watch stuff on your phone.
I know. Right.
Go to your local, like, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and sit and watch videos while you're drinking your coffee.
Everyone knows, there was a great commercial out. It was a little kid. It was about maybe a year ago. It was a little kid, like, and everything he pointed out was a TV. He pointed to his sister's watch. That's a TV. To his father's cell phone, that's a TV. To the monitor on your desk, that's a TV. It's all, yeah.
It's true now. Anything can be your TV.
Right.
You can watch anything you want anytime, pretty much.
The only restricted to is like any shows that are just totally, that aren't in like a streaming mode, like Svengoolie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of his out of Chicago.
Right,
none of his
there
stuff,
are some.
His content is exclusively to the television station.
Now, you might be able to buy Svengoolie DVDs. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have to look into it because I would like to.
But they don't upload any of his stuff to a YouTube.
No,
or
none of it's really on YouTube.
As far as I know. Or Hulu or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, there are other horror hosts. Svengoolie, Midnight Mausoleum, Son of Ghoul from Akron, Ohio. He's on channel 16 down there. So you have to have your rabbit ears adjusted just right. And you have to tune in on Saturday nights at 8. You know, which is fine if that's what you want to do, but really, it seems more of an inconvenience in my opinion. I'd rather just watch stuff whenever I want to watch stuff.
Hey, you know what, by the way, folks, I think this is, you're hearing us tonight, and maybe our most drunkest, but that's fine.
I think we are.
Oh, yeah. Because it's been a long day. I mean, it's been a long weekend. We didn't eat a lot.
Well, we drove 3 hours yesterday. This is a very nice place, Green Eagle Winery.
Beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Out in the middle of nowhere, but it is a
we
beautiful
met the owners.
Drive.
They're amazing people.
Very nice people that run it.
God, I wanted to chill out. I wanted to be like the guy that was kissing your hand all night. This
oh,
one dude we met.
Yeah, there were creepers, and I think they meant well.
They were nice creepers.
They were nice creepers.
But come on, you gotta envy the guy who's sitting there from the beginning at 2 p.m., with a wine bottle uncorked.
Oh, he stunk like he's been drinking all day.
He had it. That's my dude, man.
Yeah, he was just chilling out, drinking from that
oh
bottle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, nothing
fun.
Wrong. Yeah.
And he must have kissed my hand 10 times. I think I had a petri dish of just germs on the back of my
hand.
But
he bought some of our stuff.
But he did buy a poster and a DVD, so that was pretty sweet.
Love you, bro. Bill, was that his name?
His name was Bill. He told me that 20 times.
He told me maybe half that time.
And then there were a couple other creepers, but, you know,
No, they weren't creepy. They were
they were nice. I just kidding.
We met some great people out there.
There were a lot of awesome people. I'm just kidding.
I'm the ultimate creeper. I married you. Man, but yeah, well, we had a great time at the Green Eagle. It was so opening up for our idols. It's like a dream come true. Like we started out talking about. I mean, I wouldn't. If you had told me that I would be doing this at any time in my life, I wouldn't believe you.
And honestly, this is something that I never thought I would be pursuing. Originally around 2007, 2008, and I was working a square job too. But I would act in B movies, like straight to video movies.
We're going
to
be in a B movie in that.
And not
a B movie, but an independent.
And I still do from time to time an independent in B movies, or sometimes I do modeling for the Cleveland Photographic Society. Some photographer friends. That,
no, I don't.
You know, it's fun. It really is, and it's cool that. I'm in my 30s, and people still ask me to do things like that. It makes me feel all, like, cute and girly and stuff.
You should. You are cute and girly and stuff. My God. And here we go. I'm constantly reminded how cute and girly you are. Gee.
Even though I grew up a tomboy.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with a little brother, and most of my cousins were all boys.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked Nintendo and wrestling.
So much so that you got a Luigi and Mario tattoo.
Yes, I have a Luigi.
And a Goomba.
I have a Luigi tattoo where he's holding his hat and kind of walking. And then I've got a Mario that's jumping over a Goomba.
Yeah.
And the tattoos I got are all original artwork from the Super Mario 3 instruction book.
Plug to who's your artist?
And huge plug and thank you to Ken Phillips over at Scapegoat Tattoos in Medina.
That's Scapegoat Tattoos.
Scapegoat. Yes, he is the only guy that will ink me.
Whoa.
The only one that will ink my body.
Hey, lucky guy. Well, I understand the connection.
And I want to get another one. I actually want to get a jack-o'-lantern tattoo, but something that matches and complements
There was a jack-o'-lantern Nintendo game?
Well, there was a Nintendo game for Game Boy called Super Mario Land. I believe it was the second one, Super Mario Land 2. And they had a whole Halloween world. I think it was called Pumpkin World. And the map where you're walking around going to the different levels is like a jack-o'-lantern.
All right, Dan. Mm.
And it was all like super cute Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that voice?
All right, Dan. Because I feel like a Sling Blade guy right now.
It's a little creepy. Okay, enough of that.
Anyway, yeah, so... You really? I mean, and the monkey has no ink.
Yo, no, you need some ink.
Maybe
you need ledge.
Anyway, so you could tell we're like really, really, really trying to make up for a weekend that was really long but really fun.
Yes, and we went out to the Streetsboro Flea Market this morning.
Let's talk about that the next half hour because let's kill
okay,
this next.
Okay, so we'll talk
minutes.
About that in the next segment. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have some great flea market.
I want to talk about that. But so let's wrap up the whole, Chris Hardwick, we're in front of, The Walking Dead. I just started, everybody got killed.
Oh, like The Talking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Everybody, Chris Hardwick here, we're going to talk about Talking Dead. Negan killed those people. We got to talk about it. We got to degenerate.
I like The Walking Dead. Get me wrong.
You don't like the, watch it.
That's the thing.
I'm the fan.
That's the thing. I didn't like it at first.
You don't even watch it.
But I'll watch it with him sometimes. You'll watch. And it's okay.
You watched that Negan episode and rant. You were like, this is stupid. You didn't like it.
Well,
because
I want them to kill Negan. Because
give him some time.
He's such a,
right.
I really want to cuss a lot right now because I can't.
Yeah, but this is,
I can't
this
stand
is
the
old
guy.
News. And this is like a season
And I
ago.
Hate how they milk that and just
drag
it out.
The fans hated that.
They're going to drag that out into 10 more seasons.
They might if people keep,
because
it's a corporate decision.
It's so much BS.
In the comic book, it happens much faster.
The comic books are nothing like this. And that's what kind of turned me off to the show. I get it, they want to be different, but I was expecting it to be more like the comic books.
Anyway. But you
Anyways,
didn't read the comic books.
I did. I did read them a long time ago. One of my friends let me borrow it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. So
do read comic books.
The mummy can read. Who knew?
I can read.
Yeah, she reads a lot of stuff, actually.
Yeah, I love reading.
Anyway, but we had a great time at the Green Eagle Winery. We met our idols. We got to hang. We got to freaking open for Big Chuck and Little John.
Yes. And
crazy.
And it went well, to the best of our knowledge. Everyone was really nice.
Those
guys.
They
called us up at the end. They were... he was calling up all the celebrities, yeah. And then he said, and then he said, oh, and the mummy and the monkey. Like,
we were the monster and the monkey at first.
Well, he couldn't get our name right. He was calling it the monkey and the mummy, everything. The monster and the mummy.
Whatever. That's okay. We're here. We're paying our dues, and we're good with that. We don't want anything. Like, we want to earn whatever we can get.
We didn't get paid a dime to do it. No. We volunteered our time to be a part of this stage show, and it was for charity.
Are you kidding me? This is...
And for them to even ask,
I would do this free for the rest of my life. Because I love these guys. Everything that they do was... Everything that we do was inspired by what they do.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, in the future, if we were asked to do birthday parties or weddings...
That's a different thing.
And we got paid a little bit.
But anything associated with them, affiliated with those guys, I would do it in a heartbeat for nothing.
So the mummy and the monkey are available for children's parties.
For pay, but
and
for
weddings,
Big Chuckle and John,
different events.
We're free for you. That's the bottom line.
All right, so we're
love
going
these guys.
To take a quick little break, and we'll go into part two.
Are you cutting me off?
I don't know. Is there anything else you want to say right now?
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
how's
okay.
That?
Well, you told me.
I'm going to say that. No, but yeah, but in so to wrap everything up in a Chris Hardwick Talking Dead type of way, we went to Green Eagle Winery, and we had a good time. We opened up for Big Chuck and Little John. That's a great thing for
and
us.
And their nachos are really tasty.
Yeah. Well, Big Chuck and Little John's are the Green Eagle Winery.
The Green Eagle Winery.
Yeah, their nachos are really good.
Yeah, I don't know if Big Chuck and Little John made the nachos.
Who knows? They're very talented, so who knows?
Who knows?
But they were very cordial. We love them, and we will do anything for them. We're hoping to get on one of their DVDs that they're going to be taping pretty
or
soon.
Or to at least see one of their tapings.
Yeah, I'll sit there in the background
because
and not
we
say
were
anything.
Told they're going to tape another DVD soon. They're going to do some segments for
Yeah, so stay tuned for any of the stuff that we put, the footage we put out, because Grim Gory did the pizza eating contest where they have like 12 contestants. Sorry, lamppost.
Yeah, watch your arms there. He's like flailing all over the place.
I'm not even
excited
Italian,
to like, talk.
But so there's a contest. They have a thing called the pizza fights, and it's like 12 contestants. They sign up, and you get like a personal pizza. It's like 4 pieces, but it's very thick, heavy sauce. Pepperoni pizza.
Very strong, pungent Parmesan
and
cheese.
Delicious, though. Let me give it. Sunrise Pizza?
Yeah, Sunrise Inns. I guess they have a little pizza place within this hotel or inn.
No, well, yeah, but it's in the area of Warren, Ohio.
Yeah, it's in Warren. It's called Sunrise Inn.
And it's delicious pizza. I never had it before until the other day as Grim Gory, but I entered the pizza eating contest. I didn't win, but I ate 3 of the 4 pieces, and boy, whew, let me tell you. That was something else as far as maintenance goes.
You got to wash that mask
out,
well, the costume.
I know. What are you talking? What mask? That's my face, baby.
The whole car smells like Parmesan cheese. Mm. It's good, but a little nauseating.
It's making me hungry. I have 1 piece left. I'm bringing it to lunch tomorrow. I can't wait.
Oh, you're not going to eat it for segment 2?
I could, Mike, maybe, but I might. But I have some. I have pizza and fries left for tomorrow. I think I'm going to bring those to lunch tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Sounds good to me. All right. So I'm going to finish my Lady Bly rum and Swiss cream drink.
And my pink drink.
Yes.
And then we'll continue on with the podcast.
Hope you're enjoying Living the Scream with the mummy and the monkey. We love you out there, and we'll be right back.
Nobody knows just where it'll stop. Everything is crazy. Going around and around and around and around. Won't stop.
Whoa! Wow! Look at Trump that?
I didn't do that. I'll blame it on the cat.
God, yours is way better than mine.
I'll blame it on the cat.
Wow, I can't top that. No way. You said more bass and more...
It was a build-up, and I don't normally do things
It was
like
more
that.
Sustained. Hey, welcome back to Living the Scream, the behind-the-scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
Yes, and your hosts here are...
Janet J., also known as Janet Decay.
Yes, right, and Grim Gory, also known as James Harmon?
Okay. Mr. Harmon.
That's right. And Mrs. Harmon.
Mrs. Harmon.
Yeah, so, okay, so you're still here. That's a good thing. We're talking about our crazy weekend opening up for Big Chuck and Little John at the Green Eagle Winery.
And all the goings-ons we did this morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this morning, Sunday morning, the day after the big Green Eagle appearance.
May 21st,
yeah,
2017.
That's right. We visited a good friend of ours.
Tony Bentler.
That's right. He works at the Streetsboro Flea Market.
Yes.
He has a shop there.
And is it his brother or his cousin?
Mm-hmm.
They, one of them sells retro toys and has a little shop down there.
Right next to his, but Tony has his own booth.
Tony has his own booth and he sells a weird variety of toys and knickknacks and collectibles. And him and his sister April do a tremendous, awesome job putting together, like Mummy and the Monkey merchandise, fan art.
They are responsible for our Mummy the Monkey neon clocks. Ding. Our Mummy the Monkey lunch boxes. Ding. Our Mummy the Monkey nightlights. Ding. Mummy the Monkey magnets. Mummy the Monkey, gosh, buttons. This and that. Crazy. And printouts of like cool posters, which we have, which no one really even offered them to anybody yet.
Well, we've given them out. Like if someone buys a DVD, sometimes I'll give them a freebie.
Yeah, but there's some stuff I found that they gave us, laminated pictures that are really cool. And
I forgot we even
had
those.
And Tony does, he's also the artist. Tony Beller is also the artist that does our in between, we call them stills. In between our breaks and stuff, when we go to from our Mummy the Monkey show, when we go from the movie to a break, we put stills up with music behind it, a music bed.
And it'll say like, hey, yeah, we'll be right back.
Yeah, hang in there, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But those are, Tony Beller is our show artist.
Yes, he is a great fan and friend, great artist. And he has a very unique style.
Yes, and every good, yeah.
Even it almost other people. Reminds me of like the artwork they used in like Monty Python.
Just
it's
like,
just very weird.
Just like John Thornburg was, you know, Big Chuck and Little John's, you know, a break artist where he would do the little stills like hang in there, where there would be a guy hanging by chains in a dungeon, or, you know, a mouse or whatever is tied to train tracks, you know, stay tuned, whatever he would do. But so Tony Beller is our John Thornburg.
Yes.
He does artwork for our in-between skit stuff for our Mummy
and
Monkey
show. And
we've
had other people send us art, too, and we appreciate any art submissions.
Yes, we would like
more. To themummyandthemonkey@gmail.com. Plug, plug.
Plug, plug.
Like, for example, what's his...
Scott?
No. Well, Scott's in a cool letter, but the guy that does the show Frankie and the Horror Show Radio.
Oh, Frankie, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He sent us a really cool drawing, too.
Yeah.
So there are some awesome people sending in drawings that if we didn't mention you...
Kenji.
Yes, mm-hmm. If we didn't mention you, we still love you and we love
Kenji has done some
fan art.
Some awesome artwork. I have it hanging in my my cubicle at work of the Mummy and the Monkey he did. And people ask me who did that and I tell them who did it. I tell them Kenji, a friend of ours, a fan of ours.
So that's awesome when these artist professional people
What are they? Horror Show Radio is what they do?
Horror Show Radio.
Oh, my God.
They do a radio show and a horror hosted show.
It is awesome. You got to listen to
They have time to do both.
It doesn't matter. Horror Show Radio, they gave us a DVD or a CD that we play, and we gave a bunch of them away at Cinema Wasteland last April.
Just last month, yeah.
Man, I love that. I got to make a couple copies so I don't lose it.
And it's all like rockabilly and punk.
So we get a shout out.
Yes, and they did a shout out to us and they played like a little mummy song and it was cute.
So awesome. Yeah, Kenji, thanks so much. And you and Frankie's show, hopefully, you know, we're getting some people listen to you out that way and watch your show.
Yeah, I guess if you want to know more about Kenji, just check out horrorshowradio.com. Google it or something, or try .com. I don't remember the
exact address. But it's called Horror Show Radio.
Yes, horror with an H.
Yes.
Not a W.
Fun stuff. Yeah, so Tony Beller is one of our good friends. Love the guy and his sister April. They make some really cool Mummy the Monkey merch.
Yes, and people love it. I think we're on our last Mummy and Monkey lunchbox. I had some in the shop. And they've been selling. Surprised.
Yeah, so we drove to Streetsboro this morning after the big Saturday event. And Janet is sitting in a chair she purchased there today.
Yes, I bought a vintage.
This thing is awesome.
Dumore little office chair, and it's got wheels on it, a metal frame.
I don't even think they had a term ergonomics when they designed this thing, but how is it
this
feel?
This is from the 1940s, and I got it at a really good price from a vendor there who was a total sweetheart, but it feels amazing on my back, on my butt. it's just way more comfortable than any new office chair they make today.
And I'm sitting in like an Office Max special here, and you know, a regular like sort of a desk chair. And it's high backed and everything, but it doesn't have the lumbar support this little chair does.
Yeah, and I was like wondering if I should put this in the shop and resell it, or if I should just keep it.
So here's what's
it's so
funny.
Comfortable.
So they'll sell like a chair like I'm sitting in for like, you know, maybe $80, $100, and then they sell a separate lumbar support, right, that you have to put in behind you. It's like a little spring mesh thing. This chair you're sitting in now, the Dumore. It's perfect. I mean, when I sat in it,
it already has the lumbar support.
It's all. It makes you sit straight up.
It does. It really. I feel like I'm sitting up straighter, and I really need to watch my posture anyway.
Me too.
I don't want to be like.
Can I watch your posture for you? That's a grim talking, baby.
You perv.
Always. Right.
Hey, but yeah, I'm loving this, and it's the perfect size because I'm short, and it's a cute little chair. Whoa, Graham.
That wasn't me. That was a cat. That was Louie.
Yeah, just blame it on the cat.
I'm petting
And Louie is sitting on your lap.
My stepson, Louie.
Yes, your stepson,
Louie. One of your cats, but he loves me.
This cat I rescued about 3 years ago. I drive home from work. I pull up in the driveway, and the neighbor's daughter comes up to me holding this big, black, puffy cat. And she goes, "Is this your cat? I've been watching him."
It's James's cat.
And I said, "Well, no, it's not my cat, but I'll bring him in and feed him. Thank you so much." So I bring him in and feed him, and he ends up being my cat.
Yeah, but then he turns out to love me for some
reason.
But
he loves you more.
Why?
I'm just the woman that feeds him and takes him to the vet sometimes.
But he jumps in my lap.
But your dad, he loves you.
So weird.
He loves James.
Louie.
So yeah, Louie picked out his favorite person.
Yeah, well, cats don't have owners. They have help. We know that.
Oh yeah, these guys are spoiled.
What you want, Master Louie? That's what I am.
And this cat has no bones. When you pick him up, he's just like a pile of this plush, soft.
Yeah,
short,
my term is flompy.
Flompy.
Because he just sort of molds to whatever you, however you pick him up. That's what his body.
Yeah,
his bones just convert.
And when you move around or when you carry him around, he just doesn't care.
Nope.
He even lets you trim his claws. And
without
most,
a problem.
And most cats hate that.
I could probably chop his head off and he wouldn't care. And then there's my son Jack, who's a black cat, who's very jealous.
Oh yeah, we call him Jealous Jack because he gets very jealous if you're petting another cat.
I'm petting Louie right now. He's in my lap, and then Jack came up and pawed me in the elbow and ran away. I'm looking at you, Jack.
Jack,
come here, buddy. Anyway,
he's like looking like who, me?
Yeah. So let's talk about the rest of the weekend that we had. So we went and talked to Tony.
Talked to Tony, and
he gave us some good merch and some new stuff to peddle.
Yeah, some new stuff to put in the shop. Some really cool vintage records,
mm-hmm.
Very white tapes, and like just fun stuff that, you know, I'm hoping people will like and we can get new homes for.
Yeah, this guy is a great supporter of our show, and we love what he does. And he and April, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we are blessed, as they say.
Yes, we went down to the Streetsboro Flea Market, and mm-hmm. It's great because most of it is indoors. So even if it's raining or if it's really crappy outside, you could still go in and shop and have a good time.
And so you found some cool stuff outside. What did you find?
But there were some outside vendors there, and the weather wasn't bad.
What did you find, the skull?
So, no, not the skull.
Skull bank. Skeleton bank.
No, it's not a skeleton bank.
It is a skeleton bank.
Well, it's a skeleton, but it's called a coffin bank.
Oh, sorry.
And I think, and I have to double check, I think it's from the 1960s.
Oh my.
And it's a wind-up. So when you would put a coin on the top of this coffin bank, ooh, a little skeleton hand will reach out and grab your penny or dime or something and put it in the bank.
Yeah.
And it's really freaking cute.
Mm.
And I got it for only a couple bucks. And I am just thrilled because this is something that I think someone else would really like that I could put in the shop.
I think so too, you know? Yeah, good for you. We've been doing pretty good at the Thrift Crypt.
Whoa, you okay
the
there?
The Thrift Crypt. Sorry. All the fluids are leaking.
We have our good days and bad days, but the store's doing good. Right now it's paying for itself. We haven't paid us back in any.
I don't care.
But it's a lot of fun, and it's a labor of love.
Yeah, and if you want to come out and hang out with us, that's all we.
And I'm also starting a customer call list. So if there's certain things that people collect that they're looking for, if I find it, I will snatch it up, send them a message, let them know, and they tell me yes or no if they want to buy it.
So let's talk about a few things that we sold recently that were pretty good items, like the Jawa carded, like the Star Wars
Jawa. Yeah, I had a Star Wars Jawa that was unopened from 1983.
It was up for a while for a little bit.
It was up for several months because
but then
another eBay seller had one similar to mine.
But we modified the price and it went. And then the other thing was
there was a bartender's book from 1933 that I bought with like a bunch of other books, and that's sold
very well.
Very well, yeah. I didn't know that it was that collectible.
Who knew? We're learning stuff too as we go here with the Thrift Crip.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun, and we love collecting things anyway. And right. There are things that we'll go out to these flea markets and yard sales and thrift stores, estate sales, and sometimes we're going through boxes of garbage just to find like that one or two cool items. And there's things that we keep, but then there's also things we want
to
sell.
Yeah, and there's always more to come. So we got questions coming up on the post that you put out.
Yeah, my phone is like blowing up right now. With these notifications.
Yes.
Dino mentioned you in a comment. Ooh, what's this?
Oh my.
Oh, okay. I already read that. Mm-mm. He sent us a link for some radio show. Let's see what else we have.
Yeah. Okay. So Sunday night. Let's talk about our.
Oh, jeez.
But did we talk about our Sunday night ritual, like with Commander Greg?
Oh, Sunday night ritual, yeah. You mean?
Sunday night ritual.
Okay, so every Sunday night when we're back from whatever we're doing during the day.
In Cleveland, Ohio. In
Cleveland. And in Berea, too.
Yeah.
Northeast Ohio, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or anywhere online. 883 is the FM radio station that is ran by Baldwin Wallace. It's a college radio station. It's called The Sting, 88.3 The Sting.
But at 6 p.m. on Sunday night.
6 p.m. on Sunday night, there's a guy, and he goes by the name Commander Greg. So from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can listen to the Golden Age of Radio.
It's awesome.
It is so great. They play old rockabilly music from the 50s, early 60s. Doo-wop, blues. And then sometimes they play like new bands that have that kind of fun
vibe
or sound.
Yeah.
And the great thing is he'll do the announcing kind of like Mad Daddy.
Or Wolfman Jack.
Or Wolfman Jack.
With the plate echo.
Yeah, the plate echo. The everything rhyming, wavy gravy, and what else does he say?
Ovaday.
Sometimes he'll talk like Gulardi and say Ovaday.
He drops Gulardi references and Gulardi music.
Yeah.
He'll play some of that 60s stuff. But yeah, but he plays some great doo-wop, great 60s like rockabilly, 50s, 60s. And it's a great show. We listen to it.
Our Sunday night ritual is we'll listen to 88.3 The Sting, The Golden Age of Rock, and you can also check it out on WBWC.com.
There you go.
But we'll like clean the house a little bit, do some laundry, blast the music, and kind of rock out to this fun, like old timey music.
And we're doing doing shout outs right now.
We're doing what?
We're doing shout outs.
Shout outs to what?
To our opening music. Splattertude.
Oh yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We haven't given them
the
a proper
music for the podcast
for our podcast. Okay. Yes,
it took me a minute.
No, it's a good old a ghastly ghoul.
Yes, so Bob our Hinton. Good friends, the band Splattertude, consists of a horror host from Dayton, Ohio, who's also a radio celebrity, and his name is Bob Hinton, also known as Ghastly Ghoul. He's a huge part of
Ghastly Ghoul.
Ghastly Ghoul.
Yes.
He's also part of Cinema Wasteland. Mm-hmm. He does Ghastly's Night at the Movies. He'll do trivia and fun and games on stage.
Look at this guy.
And Louie just fell asleep on your
He's
lap.
He's all flumpy.
He is a puddle of cat.
He is just a he little
He has purple. No bones.
I love him.
He's a puddle of cat.
That's what I say, no bones.
But anyway, yeah, shout out to Ghastly Ghoul because him and his lovely wife, I always call her Mrs. Ghastly.
Mm-hmm.
They also are part of a band called Splattertude, and they are great. It's kind of like hard rock, like a hard rock alternative kind of
sound. And
they
perform every Wasteland, like that when they do Ghastly Night at the Movies.
Yes, they always play at Cinema Wasteland. Yes. in Strongsville, Ohio, and that convention is twice a year. You can check it out.
And if you're hip, you're there at 8 o'clock every Saturday or every Saturday
every
night.
Every Saturday at Cinema Wasteland.
Yeah, at the event, and they put on a great couple-hour show. It's great. So much fun.
So if you want to learn more, just check out CinemaWasteland.com, right, and you can see Ghastly Ghoul on there.
Yeah. But that's where we get our opening music from.
Oh, yes. And I was so happy that they gave us permission to use it. Because I love their music. Yep. It's just fun. And they're really nice people.
Awesome.
And what was really cool, before I even did Mummy and the Monkey with Grimgory, Mr. James over here, I was an actress sort of hired to host the Daughter of the Ghoul show. And mm-hmm. I mentioned that in our Origins episode.
Yeah.
But I got a lot of... crap for
that's a nice way to put it.
For hosting the Daughter of the Ghoul, because a lot of people were like, oh, you're copying the ghoul, you're just riding the ghoul's coattails.
I was
just a girl who had a character named Janet Takei that wanted to be
who hosted the Daughter of the Ghoul.
Yeah, that wanted to host shows and be in movies and stuff. So I hosted the Daughter of the Ghoul show, but Ghastly Ghoul was the first one to welcome me into the ghoul family, into the horror hosting family.
Yeah.
So special thanks to my adopted uncle, Ghastly.
Yeah, bomb hitting. Thank you, brother. We love you, man.
All right. I think I'm losing my voice. And you're just burping away over there.
I am burping like crazy. Jeez. You're welcome. Yeah, so this weekend has been so tumultuous and so great in so many ways.
You just said a big word.
Tumultuous? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you're being presumptuous.
Look. When Big Chuck asked if we can use a little table, little fold-out table we had.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big thing for
After
me.
We were done with our intro for the show, I was taking things down because we had a little table set up on the stage with
it's
some
a little,
boxes.
Little tiny brown little fold-up table, probably from the 60s.
But I'm like taking it down and walking down the stairs, and he stops me. He goes, can I borrow that table? And I'm thinking, of course you can. Look, you're a TV legend.
Celebrity is...
Have whatever you want.
Yeah, is relative, you know? Yeah.
And what was cool is he carried all of his own merchandise in. This guy is 83 years old.
Okay, so here,
he's been on TV forever.
Let's paint the picture. So we go into this place. We got there about 12:30, right? Yesterday, it's Saturday. And we start setting our table up. This gentleman, Big Chuck Shadowski, who's the main part of the Big Chuck and Little John show, 83 years old, we saw him walk in. He has a cardboard box in his hands. He puts on a he is setting up his own table.
He's a TV legend, and he's setting up his own vendor's table.
Which is, these
he
guys...
He had his own... This suitcase looked like it was from the 1950s.
Look,
but he opened up this old suitcase that I'm sure he's had
props
since
and,
he was young.
Yep, and scripts, everything he needed.
Yeah, and
was
he had all of his notes, all of his little props he needed.
It was
and
awesome.
I just... We were like looking at that suitcase,
this is what you have to understand.
Like, wow, that is cool.
That's what he and Little John are consummate pros.
And Little John is so nice too.
John Rinaldi is one of the most coolest human beings I've ever met in my life. I mean, granted, he sold us our wedding rings and everything, but we went to him to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was no more of an honor in my for us. You brought it up, and I couldn't agree more. Yes, if we're gonna get married. The Mummy and the Monkey, you know, Janet Takei and Grimgory get married, Janet Jay and James Harmon. We have to get our stuff from a jeweler who we grew up on.
Yes, he started
he
out originally as being a jeweler, and then he was asked to help with the show.
Yeah, he was on that show before, in tandem with that. He did both.
Before, it was like right before
but
Julian
it's in
left,
that guy's
right?
blood. If you watch Little John, these guys are constant. They're really, really good entertainers.
And
period.
He recently retired from the store,
the jewelry
so that
business,
way he has time to relax now that he's getting a little bit older.
So we were talking to him behind the scenes whenever some other actor was on. He said something that I will never forget. I said, oh, so did you enjoy your, 11-week vacation after retiring? He goes, yeah, but I could have fun in a closet. He's just
so very positive.
He loves life.
A lot of people can learn from that type of
Whoa.
Positivity.
Hey, you knocked over my empty Jaeger bottle.
What is he? What did he?
No.
Oh, his tail knocked it over.
Yeah, it's okay. But someone said that the Earth was flat. It wouldn't. The Earth isn't flat because if it was, a cat would have knocked everything over by now. I saw that
so
on Facebook.
True.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, do we want to go into the questions now?
Yes, let's
because there's
questions.
Much to discuss.
We got about 10 minutes left in the show, so I know we're rambling, literally.
Okay, wow, Tony Beller sent us a question.
Okay, so the first question is from?
Tony Beller, the guy we were talking up so much.
Who has a shop in Streetsboro.
At the Streetsboro Flea Market.
Right. He asks,
how do you like performing live? Any jitters, or do you have fun and don't think about it? It's a combination
of... You don't even know.
It's a combination of both because...
Well, if they could have saw us a week before, what were we doing?
Yeah, and it's a very good question. Well, we did a stage show live at Goulardi Fest all 3 days, and the night before, we had everything planned out. We had all our props ready.
The script written out.
We were trying to memorize it.
Yeah.
We had it memorized really good. We had it down, but the night before... I had a major panic attack.
Uh-oh. Listen to this.
And this is something I don't normally talk about.
Opening a beer.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh beer.
Hoofah.
But I was always the shy kid growing up. So this sort of being in entertainment, being in bad movies, hosting a cheesy show, doing this podcast, it kind of helped to break away from the shyness, but I still get jitters sometimes when we're doing these events.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, for what we did yesterday, I honestly felt pretty good about it.
Me too. And I have to watch this tape back. I mean, we taped what we videotaped whatever our performance on Saturday. I still get the jitters. I mean, I can't help it. As much as I prepare for it, I still can lock up. I'm still trying to be comfortable, even though no one can really see who I am. I don't know that behind the mask, because I know who I am.
Right.
The insecure idiot, you know. But I'm behind this monkey mask. But, you know, I think the more the crowd might be familiar with us, it might be easier to acclimate.
To digest.
And to get to the crowd. But, you know, I feel like I have to constantly, you know, make sure that they know where we're coming from, you know? But it's hard to do.
But I feel like when we're in character, like especially when I'm Janet Decay, I feel like I have a little more confidence or I could get away with more or do more to be more social. But when I'm just Janet myself, there are times where I kind of withdraw or I shut down a little bit. Sometimes I get a little shy.
You would think the opposite would happen with me with my monkey outfit, but I still see them. I still doesn't register with me that they see me. You know, they see the monkey.
But you get
James.
Some great reactions. Like people would see him in the whole full ensemble, and they'd just look at it. Oh, geez. Scale back the burps.
I can't help
but
it.
I think
they want that. I don't know, maybe not.
But they would just look at him and go, whoa.
Yeah.
There's a monkey man standing next to me.
And we met a really cool girl named Nicolette out there, a young lady.
Oh, yeah, really sweet kid, maybe around 10 years old.
So we live for that. I mean, if we can inspire the kids out there, that's what we want to do.
And she was asking some really good questions.
She's about 9 or 10 years old, and she was asking us, a bunch of stuff.
Like, oh, what'd you do to your eye? Did you make your own costume?
Yeah.
Do you do your own makeup? Did you guys get paid for this? She's asking some really grown-up questions for a kid.
So the rewards are multiple when we do this
and
kind
it,
of thing.
It like melts my undead mummy heart
right.
when
and my
like
black
there's
heart.
There's kids that like us and they're talking to us and
right.
I just think it's
you
really
have another
cute.
Question on there?
Yeah, there's two more questions.
Oh,
we're gonna get to them.
We got
too.
About 6 more minutes left in the show.
Chris DeLuca, what horror movie do you like that you would be embarrassed to admit to horror fans?
Ooh, this is
Ooh,
a good one.
That is a good
I
one,
love
Chris
this
DeLuca.
One. Thanks, Chris. Let's answer Chris's question.
You go
question.
First, Grim.
No, ladies, mummies first.
Okay. I hate to admit this because there are some
Uh-oh.
Horror fans that hate it, but I really truly love the Scream series.
Ugh,
you
really?
You hate the Scream movies.
That's not
movies.
My thing. It's like when you
but
grew up, though.
Yeah. I was in high school when those movies came out, and I remember the other classmates were like, oh, that scene freaked me out. Or, oh, I'm going to go see Scream 2. It's so cool. And I don't know. I really liked it. I thought it was done well. Even though, yeah, people can make fun of it. It does have some cheesiness, but
Interesting.
I loved it.
Yeah. Not too bad, you know, but it was very contemporary, very 90s.
And I like that it was a new horror film that I thought was entertaining.
Okay, so what can I say to that? I mean...
And I actually saw it in the theaters.
I mean, I grew up watching a lot of... I mean, it was... anything I watched was bad. I mean, anything that Superhost or Big Chuck or Houlihan and Big Chuck and Lejean showed was bad, but I loved all of that. Let me see. What was the, I mean, well, okay, so.
But is there one that stands out in your mind that is terrible, but you still love it? Terrible. There's a lot of terrible movies that you still love.
But some of those.
Or any that you saw in the theater.
But
as
some
a kid?
Of them lie in the blaxploitation or the Grindhouse.
Okay, so say some titles.
You know what? Busters to horror. I can do horror. So for me, for Grim Gory, there's so much bad stuff. But Plan 9 from Outer Space, not that bad of a movie. Not compared to, you know, some other stuff that's come out that really was really truly bad. But Manos, the Hands of Fate, when Mystery Science Theater, you know.
That was really
funny.
I
had never heard of that movie or saw it. That movie is really bad. But
I think it was,
and
like,
without their commentary, if you try to watch that movie, and I have it, like, without the robots and Mike making fun of it, it's unwatchable. It's really bad.
It is hard to watch.
Mine would have to be up there. Mystery, you know, yeah, but Manos, Hands, and Face would have to be up there with what's really bad.
Oh, gosh. This last
question. More questions?
There is one more question.
Sorry, everybody. I'm a little
bit. Oh, my gosh.
Pale.
It's embarrassing.
What does it say?
Edward Mischick says girth or length.
Of a movie? I think if a movie is...
I don't know if he means movie or personal.
Okay, so...
I'm not sure what he means.
So let's put our twist to it. Our own twist. If a movie... I would prefer a girthier movie versus a lengthier movie. Because, you know, a movie... I mean, length means it's an undeterminable amount. Girth means more substance to me.
I agree with you there. A movie needs to have some substance. You can have a short film that's only 15 minutes long.
But it has so much...
But if it's really cool and entertaining... Then I don't care if it's only 15 minutes
right,
long.
Because there's a lot of movie. I'm sure a lot of people out there feel the same way. There are TV shows that are a half hour long that impact you so much more than a 2 hour movie or a 90 minute movie, because the message is a lot more concentrated and stronger and it appeals to, you know, your sensibilities.
Oh, my phone's buzzing again.
Whoa. So I'm a girth guy. I'm gonna go for. Are you a girth girl?
I would say girth in more ways than one.
Hey now. Let's hit our elbows together. Wink. Yeah, okay. All right. Well,
as Monty Python would say, hint, wink, wink, so no more.
Sorry. I guess they sorry and you're welcome at the same time.
No, it's all good. In more ways than one.
It's all girth. Wow.
Oh my.
Wow, we've got about
we went to that weird part of the discussion that
this
we didn't.
This is the craziest show I think we've ever taped.
I think this is our craziest one because I think we're both drunk right now.
Very much so.
Yeah.
It's been a long weekend, but a great weekend. We spent time
it
with
might
some
be a rough
great
Monday morning too.
Freaking people. We had a good time.
We had a really good time. We enjoyed the flea market. And just kind of bumming around Streetsboro, and then we
and
went to go see your mom.
Yeah, but yeah, that was yeah.
That was
my
nice. Your
my
mom is always a sweetie.
She got me into Houlihan and Big Chuck and the Ghoul. Yeah,
and she's telling dirty jokes and talking funny and burping just like he.
We
does.
Have to have her on at one time. We'll have my mom.
Yeah,
on
we'll have her on one again. Well, she was on the last one.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. On the call-in, but we'll do a better reception. But yeah, but we had a great weekend. Opening up for a Big Chuck and Little John. I mean, we're budding horror hosts. We're trying to, you know, follow in their footsteps.
So
we're hoping to be on their next video DVD release that they put out.
We'll see how that goes. We're trying to get information on when their next taping is, where it is, all that jazz.
But they did a station ID or a show ID for us that they said they watched our show. Okay.
Well, we did give them DVDs before.
We did.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
I don't know. I
didn't really
I love
ask.
Those guys.
I was almost afraid to ask.
But I don't blame if they didn't watch us.
And
but I would blame you out there listening right now if you don't watch us. You better watch our show.
You better. But now that we're...
Butt hair.
But now that we have... Stop it. But now that we have that out of the way, we can now focus finally on finishing season 2 and getting everything ready for season 3.
So we are definitely working on that. We have a bunch of stuff planned out. Good, fun stuff. planned for season 3.
Yes, all that
of
driving.
Of the Mummy and the Monkey Show.
Yes, of the Mummy and the Monkey Show. And doing all that driving yesterday, we were able to talk in the car and throw ideas
and
around.
And meet some stuff out to kind of come up with ideas. But
so now we have a better idea of what we want to do for future actual video episodes.
That's right. But the clock's saying this is about it. We should wrap it up for this edition of Living the Scream.
Living the Scream.
Behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And please write us with any questions. Send us any fan mail you want to. Yes. And my drunk lips aren't working that right.
Check us out on themummyandthemonkey.com or themummyandthemonkey@gmail.com or Facebook, Google, whatever the hell
you need. Google.
Whatever, Google. Whatever.
G-O-O-G.
Whatever the hell you guys use.
We're in rare form tonight. Thank you for listening to
Living the Scream!
See you later, alligators.
I'm never gonna fall in love.
I'm never gonna fall in love again.
Listen to me, honey. I gave my heart to you,
baby.
So easily, I cast aside all my pride. And then you went and fell for someone else, baby. Look what you've done to me. Oh, Lord, you told me you're falling inside. And it looks like.
Looks like.
Oh, I'm never gonna fall in love.
Oh, no.
Help me sing this song now. I'll never fall.